This morning I want to invite you to consider your crown. That sounds maybe a little weird right now at this moment, but I hope it will become clear as I share with you this morning. You see, we go about our daily lives so often, the routines, we go through the motions, we eat, we sleep, we work a lot and maybe play a little. The next day comes and we do it all over again. And it's easy, all too easy, to become complacent and mundane. It's easy to become, or to just let the days pass in the wind. It's easy to enjoy things, and it's easy to also become frustrated, to let the little things get to us. More and more people put off things like faith, hope, and love expressed through the body of Christ that we call the church, thinking, oh, I'll be a part of that next week or the next, and our spiritual lives are sometimes put on the back burner. I think we forget who we are, whose we are. And I think that maybe the day-to-day living lulls us into focusing on the little things and neglecting sometimes the big things, the most important things. I sometimes lose track of the sheer beauty of life, of creation, of God, our Creator, and how we've been created and gifted by God. It's amazing, actually, when you sit down to think about it for a minute, how amazing you are, how God has built and formed and shaped you with mystery and beauty and glory. Despite how often we can forget this when trapped in the mundane routines of lives, there was a poet long ago, a musician, if you will, who took time to ponder these things, to ponder life, to look deeply into our humanity, how we've been created in the image of God. And this poet took time to express what he or she understood. We read the words of this poet in Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name throughout all the earth. You have made your glory higher than heaven. From the mouths of nursing babes, you have laid a strong foundation because of your foes in order to stop vengeful enemies. And when I look up at your skies, at what your fingers have made, the moon and the stars that you have set firmly in place, I think, what are human beings that you think about them? What are human beings that you even pay attention to them? Yet you've made them only slightly less than divine, crowning them with glory and grandeur. You've let them take charge over your handiwork, putting everything under their feet, all sheep and all cattle, the wild animals too, the birds in the sky, the fish in the ocean, everything that travels the pathways of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name throughout all the earth. You are amazing. Only slightly less than the divine, the poet says. And God has handed you, in all your amazingness, a special task to take care of all that God has made around us, the universe, the earth. You are a caretaker of this world, just a little lower than God, but nonetheless so important in the world that God created that you are crowned with glory and honor and power and majesty to be a steward. So, again, consider your crown. Consider this crown that God has placed upon you and within you. That's what I want to talk about for just a little while today. I want to take a cue from the poet, from the psalmist, and consider how amazing and how glorious and how grand you are. Not to puff up your ego. Some of us have big enough egos. but to help us realize the magnitude of being made in the image of God. To make you in God's image, it took God over 75 trillion cells. God knit together and formed you. And in every one of those 75 trillion cells, God wrote 6 feet of DNA with over 3 billion letters of coding using hundreds of thousands of molecules glued together, if you will, to form you. The unique you that you are. Those hundreds of thousands of molecules, those 3 billion letters of coding, that 6 feet of DNA, those 75 trillion cells, they make up your bones and your teeth and your hair and your fingernails and your heart and your liver and your lungs and your brain. They make up your eyes, your nose, your ears, your mouth, your spleen, your gallbladder, even your tear ducts. These cells contain your thoughts and your memories. They mix together to form your unique personality, your disposition, your habits, your idiosyncrasies, and all those little things that make you who you are. You are this unique and exotic blend of atoms and molecules and cells and DNA that have been drifting through the universe and through the earth for more years than any of us could count. Through your parents, you've been assembled and configured and inspected and tuned in these very precise ways so that at this very moment you are you. In fact, you're shedding some of those atoms and molecules and cells right now as you sit in the pew. And whether you know it or not or can see it or not, when you get up and leave, there'll be a few of you left on the pews behind you. And Kenny will come in and vacuum all of the rough, all of the you that you left behind up, and so that it's clean for next week. Those cells and those atoms and those molecules that make you up, they were you, and you lose some, and those ones that you lose become something else. Yesterday, they might have been the cereal that you ate for breakfast, the salad that you ate for lunch, or the steak that you had for dinner. And you took them in and your body turned those atoms and those molecules into skin and hair and bones and muscles. Fat. Yep, Roby. Being honest, thank you. We need to be honest. And then of course you shed some of those in a variety of ways. Before, maybe those atoms were a leaf, or an earthworm, or a rock, or a chair, or a palace, or a mountain, or Texas, or a meteorite, or a star. It's quite amazing, actually. It's pretty cool when you think about it. You used to be a star. After all, God says you came from dust, and you will one day return to dust. And that process not only happens when you pass from this life to the next, but it literally happens every second of every day. We all used to be stars. We were made from stardust that God took and formed and shaped, as Genesis tells us, into this mud creature and breathed life into us. And brought us into being to make us, through those trillions of cells and molecules and DNA, into who you and I uniquely are. It's kind of funny when you think about it. You are actually sitting there losing 50 to 150 strands of hair a day. Kind of gross when you think about it too, but just go with me for a minute. You shed 10 billion flakes of skin a day. I know, don't even, it's, but in fact, almost all of the dust in your house, you know, when you go and you wipe your finger across the mantle or the banister and you wipe up that dust, 90% of what's on your finger is your dead skin. Sorry. Makes you want to go home and clean right now, doesn't it? So feel free to vacuum a little more often and to dust a little more frequently. Every 28 days, you get completely new skin. That's how much skin you lose from day to day. And every 9 years, your entire body is completely renewed. Think about that. When Paul says anyone who is in Christ is a new creation, it's not only your spiritual life, it's your very literal and physical life. Every 9 years, the cells that make you up are completely different. You are a different you, and yet you're the same you. It's pretty amazing, pretty miraculous. Pretty crazy when you think about it. You are constantly being renewed because that is the way God made you to be. Despite how much you may change over time, your thoughts, your habits, your actions, your ideas, you remain you. Despite that your cells are changing out constantly, you're shedding and renewing and becoming new, your body remains overall, the same, apart from the fat, Roby. Apart from the hair that changes colors a little bit as time goes on. Apart from our aging. Apart from our growing up and growing down and out and in. You remain basically the same you. With every cell that sheds, it's replaced. With every atom, it's renewed. And you continue to have the same shape. Think about it this way. If you were to take an old boat, maybe a boat that was passed down from generation to generation, a boat made of wood, and over time, something that's been around for a long time, it becomes in need of repair, right? And so an old wooden boat, you would eventually need to change some planks out of the boat, right? Maybe the floor of the boat has gotten wet over and over and over again, and so you have to pull up some planks and put some more new planks down and replace those. And then there's times maybe you have an accident or a crash or something, and you have to do a little bit more significant repair. And so you begin to repair the hull of the boat with new planks, new wooden planks. And then over time, structural timber breaks, and you have to repair that structural timber. And so that if you continue to carry that boat from generation to generation to generation, maybe adding an electric motor one day, maybe taking the mast and the sail down and replacing it with something different, steam or electricity. From its first origins, throughout the generations, if you maintain this boat, it would eventually be a completely different boat. And yet, you would still say, this is the boat handed down from my granddad and my granddad and my granddad and granddad, even though the boat is completely different at some point because you've replaced every part that failed or rotted or whatever. So what is it that's significant about the boat? It's not the individual planks, is it? No, because they get all replaced. They're not even the same anymore at one point. It has more to do, perhaps, with the pattern. Something that started out this way and was cared for and changed and renewed and restored over time, and so that you still have it today, this pattern of something that was passed down over the generations, and you're not all that different. You are a pattern designed and made by God, moving through time, constantly changing, things need replacing, and so God has built processes to replace the parts of you that need replacing, and it happens without your even knowing it. You're constantly changing and yet still consistent. And all of this might leave you to ask, so where exactly am I in this body? If I'm constantly changing, constantly renewing, no matter what I want to do, my physical body is being changed out and replaced, then what exactly is me? It's not the matter, not the cells, not the atoms. Despite how they get changed out, I'm still me. You're never the same matter from one moment to the next. You're always being changed and renewed. You are something more than the physical matter that makes you up, than the atoms that form your physical body, than the cells that are uniquely woven together to make you, you. You are something more. Your body could be taken apart all the way down to the last atom, and yet we would never begin to locate the unique essence that we know to be you. Even though 9 years from now, none of your atoms will be the same, at this moment, they fit together. They belong to you. They are uniquely yours. And yet you are more than the sum of all those atoms, more than the sum of all those parts, and none of those atoms or cells or organs or bones can really pinpoint who you are, because you are something more, a pattern, an image of God Almighty. What's even more is that you have been gifted with incredible power. You see, right now, your body, scientists have learned, is radiating about 100 watts of energy into your surroundings. Right now, in this moment, and the next moment, and the next, constantly, you are radiating power. Your body contains 7 quintillion joules of potential energy. Quintillion. I know that's a number that we don't use very often. It's a number that would be 7 with 18 zeros behind it. That many joules of energy are within you right now in this moment. And that amount of potential energy is equivalent, you wouldn't even guess what I'm about to tell you. It's equivalent to 30 large hydrogen bombs in you right now. Brothers and sisters, you don't even know how powerful you are. You are amazing. You are glorious. You are grand. You are created to be a steward of God's good creation, the earth and the sky and the stars that God set in place. You are made, as the psalmist said, just a little lower than God, than the divine creator. You are truly something more than you have ever thought you are. Beautiful, complex, finely tuned and uniquely crafted and gifted by God. Capable, talented, skilled, artistic, smart, funny, athletic, hardworking, passionate, creative, sacred, and powerful. With all your power, all the energy that is within you, you are able to do far more than you think you can. You are something more. The question then is this: what will you do with you? What will the pattern, the image that you are, show forth to the world around you? Will your image represent God and God's Son? Will it represent the way that God has invited us and called us to live in the world? Or something else? What will you do with this something more that is uniquely and powerfully and gloriously you? Will you pray with me? God above, who has made each one of us here today, every one of my brothers and sisters sitting here and those around this community, you have made us gifted and glorious and grand. God, call us to use this immense energy and power and uniqueness that we each have, our talents, our skills, our words, our thoughts, our actions, every moment and every day, to tell and show and witness to your word and your way. Through Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.